Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show here on KRFY 88.5 FM. I'm your host this morning, Phil Huff, and back after about a 2.5-3 month hiatus for shoulder surgery, but strong enough to operate the board today, so excuse any glitches. Little rusty. In the studio with me this morning, and we have a lot to talk about, is Joyce Jowdy from the East Bonner County Library. Joyce is the Community Engagement and Adult Programming Coordinator. That's a mouthful, Joyce. How did you get that title?
Well, they started it with me. It used to always just be an Adult Programming Coordinator. And then last year, they decided to add Community Engagement because, you know, libraries aren't just about books anymore, Phil. And we want to stay relevant and connected to what the community needs. And so that means involving the community and getting more connected to it. So that's kind of one of the reasons they added that aspect of the title.
And there's so much to talk about there. We want to delve into a lot of topics this morning. I will say the library here is one of the most phenomenal gems of a small town. If a small town is a library of this quality, when my wife and I were looking to move here a little over 20 years ago, we stumbled across it. And it was one of the things that cinched the deal. It's like, okay, this place has got it all going on. But tell us how you came to work at the library and came to this position. Give us a little bit of the background of yourself and your role with the library.
All right. Well, I've been a patron here at the library for over 20 years, and I've done a variety of things in this area. For a while there, you might have even seen me if you were camping at Round Lake. I did some of the interpretive programs and programs for the kids. I have history in other places in the area of fair housing, and I've done stuff with urban forestry and all different sorts of things. And then when this position came up, I just thought it would be a great opportunity. I don't know, Phil, do you remember back when you first came? You said it was about 20 years ago, PFAS, the Public Forum on Sustainability?
I do indeed, yes. I went to several of those.
Yeah, well, I helped Becky Kemery facilitate that and the volunteer group. And, you know, we met primarily at the library, as you'll recall, and had all different kinds of program topics. So in a way, it was a natural thing, kind of coming home back to that by being able to offer programs again to adults, but also build relationships, because we're really about trying to make connections for folks and, you know, allow people that sense that, hey, you know, I have the right to be, to become, to belong, you know, and have a sense of belonging in your community and of building a sense of community. And what's that take?
And you're right. It's about so much more than books. And you look even at just the physical space. The library is such a warm, welcoming place. And I remember those meetings and many others over the years. And then I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was 5-6 years ago, the major renovation of the library. Maybe it was a little more. And the upgrades to the meeting space, the spaces in general for many bits of instruction were just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been great. I hate to say though, but we're already outgrowing it, you know? It's especially after COVID, there's been such a demand for the meeting rooms and so many really invigorating programs that just also take up space, mm-hmm. you know, like the Library of Things. We need space to put all those guitars and the telescopes and the, you know, microscopes
I think all that
stuff.
For me, one of the most interesting and exciting things about the library is the Seed Library.
Oh, yeah. Did you get, I don't know if you had a chance, but the other month as part of our Natural Connections, we did a seed exchange mm-hmm. from the Seed Library to get people thinking about that. And then last month we did a plant exchange. So, mm-hmm. you know, and then I'm sure in the fall we'll probably, or it might even be in August, our new coordinator mentioned she might do it early in terms of how to harvest and save your seeds. So, yeah, lots of things going on.
Well, we're going to roll through a bunch of programs. We're going to start with one that isn't even based in the library, but and this is sort of somewhat chronological. So this one's ongoing or just about to be ongoing, starts tomorrow, the Summer Hike Series. Let's Hike. Starts June 12th, runs through July 25th. I'm looking at the information poster, a story and hike led by local rangers and other experienced hike leaders. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, this is one of those partnerships, Phil, because you'll probably have noticed that one of your favorite organizations, the Scotchman's Peaks, is a part of it, yep. as well as Kiniksu Land Trust, Idaho Department of Lands, the library, of course, Round Lake State Park, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They're all coming together so that people, you know, six and up, so it's kind of really geared to that age of family group. and they'll do a story, and then these trained rangers or, mm-hmm. you know, hike leaders will be introduced, and they'll take them on a hike. It'll be about, it'll vary at each of the locations. They're all at different locations. For example, the one on the 12th, which is tomorrow, is at Pine Street Woods. And then in contrast, the one on July 27th is at Round Lake. Yeah. So you get to go to different places. And keep in mind, though, please, you do need to register ahead and sign a waiver, and this really is for that age group, so it's not really appropriate for the little ones. They're going to get left behind,
but the big children and all of us could enjoy it. I know, for example, the one that the Friends of Scotchman Peaks are hosting on July 9th, I believe it is a natural sled, retired silviculture forester with almost 30 years of experience with the Forest Service, is going to lead a hike up Antelope Mountain and talk Very about cool. the ecology of the area. So it's about getting out in nature, but it's also about learning and experiencing and having exposure to some of the wonderful resources we have here in North Idaho. And what a great portal for the library to open up those things.
Yes. And, you know, that's one of the things you asked about, the community engagement. It's really about what's it take to learn and experience. You know, we're not just about reading, but also, you know, hands-on experience. We had a survey a while back, and they really wanted, people said they wanted to learn practical things, to do something or to make something. And so that's one of those things where you get to go to places and learn about the fauna hands-on by people who know different aspects, you know, or know something about forestry or what have you.
And so to sign up, go to the library's website?
Right. And that is ebonnerlibrary.org, so www.ebonnerlibrary.org. And you can always go to find out about events at that location. And there's some that are separated by, you know, appropriateness for age in terms of, in this case, physical abilities likelihood.
But there is so much more. Let's move on and talk about all the buzz about beekeeping.
Ah, and actually, you know, one thing more to add on the hikes, Phil, I should mention, I don't want the little ones to think they're being left out. If you're listening and you're between, you know, infant and 6 years old, you can get your parents to take you to Trails and Tales, which is at the Pine Street Woods, and that's a partnership with the Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust. So that's the one appropriate for little toddlers. Okay. So just so, don't want you
so
to guys.
So something from toddler on up to teenager to adult retirees.
That's right, just a different program. So the what's all the buzz about beekeeping is this Saturday, June 15, and this one's suitable for all ages. And it's put the presenter is going to be, it's a girl at Burberry. And it's, you know, it's your opportunity to discover beekeeping and what that all means. There's even an enclosed hive that he'll bring along, and he'll be sharing from his own insights and experience. So if you've ever been interested in beekeeping, this is an opportunity for you to learn a little bit about it and see maybe if it's for you or not. Or if nothing else, learn where your honey comes from.
I know a number of people were raising bees in the areas, and it's such an important thing to do with the In the last decade or so, the colony collapse has devastated bee colonies throughout the U.S., the world, and, you know, to be able to be actively part of making sure that there's a continuance is so important for not just honey, but agriculture.
Absolutely. You know, that brings into the whole importance of pollinators. And, you know, many folks aren't aware, but we have a garden at the library. And one of the things volunteers and library staff had done last year was really focus on planting a pollinator garden, and we hope for that to be continuing to expand to help pollinators like our bees and other insects.
Yeah, there's so many things
that help
out
us.
There. I think, isn't the library working with the Mighty Monarchs on one or more projects?
Yes, last year they helped put in the milkweed to help for the monarch butterflies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been quite active. In fact, a plug for a show coming up here in 2 weeks' time. We're going to have the Mighty Monarchs on the Tuesday morning show to learn more about their specific programming and opportunities for partnership with the library and others.
Wonderful. That'd be great. And I encourage people to check out the library's garden if they haven't, because it really is for the community. It's a demonstration garden. Not only are there those areas I just mentioned, but there's medicinal herbs, there's vegetables, there's flowers, everything that, and you're allowed to taste. Yeah. It's something you can touch and
so,
eat.
Come back to this interesting interface between the library being a physical place, but also this place of education and a more expansive place, the way it interacts with the community. And here the garden is the perfect interchange of all of those.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yesterday I was sitting out there eating my lunch and there was a mother and a couple of kids and they were just having fun exploring it all, you know. And then I see people doing their work out there too as adults, a nice little remote space. Our Wi-Fi reaches out there now, so you can work in the garden.
So there's outdoor stuff, and then looks like coming up June 17th is sewing at the library.
So that's Monday. Normally, we have a open sew type event the first Monday of every month, but we had to send them for maintenance. So this time it's going to be this coming Monday on the 17th, 2 to 4, and that's geared towards adults, and teens are welcome as well. And you can either just use our machines. We've got a limited number, and either work on your own project, or we've had some classes the past year, Phil, and we have some of those supplies still, you know. So if you want to make, you know, your own cloth tote bag, we have all the materials for that. Or maybe you want to do an eye patch. You know, you said you were having trouble sleeping after your surgery. Maybe you need to cut out the light. And we have staff who have experience with sewing and that can help you out with that. And then we'll take a pause for in terms of the sewing classes through the summer, but we'll start those back up in addition come the fall time. And so this is one of those hands-on, learn by doing. And just to let you know, we're going to be getting a sewing machine for our library of things. So if you're not able to come to one of the open sews and aren't sure if you want to invest in your own yet, this would be a great opportunity once we get it. I don't think it's arrived yet, but it's on the way.
That's so good to know. My only personal dabbling with sewing was about 25 years ago. I sewed together a backpack from a design that someone had made so that it would be specifically suited for my frame and for my wife's body, and it would be lightweight out of durable, lightweight materials. It was quite an experience. I had it. The first one didn't work as well as I'd liked, so I had to do a second one. But I learned a lot about sewing in the process.
That was awesome. Would that happen to be the backpack you brought to the community center and you did a program at?
I have done a number of those, and I remember bringing our AT backpacks to the community center, the second generation of the ones I mentioned. And the second generation was good enough. We used it for a trip along the entire Appalachian Trail.
I just remember being so amazed when I went to your presentation because they were so lightweight and I still have all my heavy stuff. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, really? You know, the poundage. So yeah, we can learn from all sorts of things.
So sewing's not just for mending shirts.
No, it's not. You know, it can be making functional things like yourself, you did in your experience. And we've had all folks, you know, we had somebody who wanted to make something for their, I think it was their boat or something. You know, it's like all different kinds of things people make. Mm-hmm. So come on out 2 to 4, and that would be
hiking and bees and sewing. And then also Mondays, yoga with Drew.
Yep. And we've expanded that in June and July. We're also doing it on Saturday. So we found some people could do one time slot and some people could do the other. So he was generous enough to say, let's do both. So Saturdays, it will be 3 to 4, and Mondays, it'll be 12 to 1 in June and July, with just a couple exception dates, and you can check on the website to make sure you don't get those exception dates.
And now, all of these events and classes are low cost or no cost?
They're all free, and that's, you know, it's one of the great things about our library here is everything is open to everybody, and everything is free. Of this nature. You know, the one exception I can think of offhand is if you use our 3D printer, I think you have to pay for the filaments. But other than that, you know, like these classes that we're talking about, any materials are all provided.
So where does the funding come from? In large part, the instructors are volunteers. Is that right?
Well, some are, because that's a great opportunity for people to give community service. But for many nowadays, Phil, this is often the way they make their living in terms of this is their expertise, you know, and we want to make sure we're equitable for folks. And so sometimes we are able to offer a fee or honorarium, and we also cover materials and other kinds of costs. It's really a one-on negotiated on a case-by-case basis. And we don't want that to be a reason. People don't step forward. Yeah. We're always looking for people to share their expertise. And, you know, time, knowledge is all of great value in many forms.
And so are you working with grants to find sources of funding or other revenue streams?
Some things are through grants and some things are through, you know, your tax dollars at work.
Your operating budget, yes. What a good use of them.
Yes. And that's why it's so important to us to be able to reach out to everybody. And also why you're seeing more and more times where we're going out into the community, like those trail hikes that you talked about. And we hope to have more events at off-site locations, so maybe reach different audiences and partner with other groups.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the really exciting events coming up, and one of the reasons we put this show together today, is the Natural Connections Program on Saturday, June 22nd. So let's take a little bit of time and dive into the focus and genesis of that, because it's really a series of things. How did that all come together under the Natural Connections banner?
Well, when I first started last year, we really wanted to give people an opportunity to come together, you know, get to know your neighbors, get to learn something with somebody else, experience something with somebody else, and also an opportunity for, we have so many talented people in our community to share their expertise. And so we developed this this program called Natural Connections. Most often it's one Saturday a month. It runs 10 to 4 all day. And you can come for part or all of it. And we've divided it up into different segments, depending in totally different topics. So, for example, on this Saturday, June 22nd, we're going to start off in our community rooms at 10 a.m. and I'm going to apologize. I don't know. Do you speak Japanese?
No.
Okay. So I was going to ask for help, Phil.
I was trying to think the word for no in Japanese, and I don't even know that.
Because my pronunciation is horrible, and I apologize. It's called furoshika. Shiki. Sorry. I apologize to our lovely speaker, Hiromi, for mispronouncing that. But it is essentially fabric wrapping. And I don't know if you've ever gotten a gift in something other than wrapping paper. And this is a way that you can wrap all sorts of things. And, you know, when I was preparing for this interview, Phil, are you still going to the music festival in the summer?
I am.
Well, I thought of you, and I seem to remember you kind of like to maybe sometime take a beverage that might be in a bottle. And of a tall structure. And she showed us a wrapping with fabric that had a handle and everything, all just with wrapping and tying, no sewing. It's just phenomenal. And so she's going to share the history of that, of this traditional art. And she is from Japan. She's just visiting here. And she wants to, you know, share her culture and also have an opportunity to interact naturally with the use of the English language. And so she's here at her friend's Amy's house, and Amy is going to teach us about origami. And we're going to make some lovely things, and you'll be able to take those home as well. So that's how we'll start off at 10 o'clock. And both, you know, both of them are very good at what they do. The samples were from very simple to very complex, and I think it'll be really fun.
That sounds exciting, but that's the one at 10 a.m., and folks will stick around. I mean, the intention is people will come for all three, but they could drop in or out, right?
Absolutely. You know, and we really understand. And sometimes we'll have a theme, you know, they're all kind of consistent, and other times they'll be totally different. And it'll be interesting to see which ones people stay all day for. Sometimes the ones that are totally different all day.
These look different enough to hold my attention all day, because then at noon there's dynamic stretching.
Yeah, so then we'll go out into the garden, because whenever the weather's good, I like to be outside, as you know. So we're going to do that. And Charisse Dexter is a professional ballerina and dance instructor, former professional ballerina. She's not currently dancing. And she's going to help us move our bodies. And this might even be good for you, Phil, with your shoulder, so you don't let the rest of your body get locked up and atrophied. So really about how to stretch your muscles and your mind so that you can be flexible and et cetera. And she's going to gear it to whoever shows up. So no fear if you're not as flexible as you would dream of being, or if you're super flexible, you're a dancer yourself or an athlete, still perfect for you because, like I said, she has all that kind of training and experience.
That sounds exciting. And, you know, my physical therapist puts me through a lot of stretches, but a few more at home doesn't hurt.
Yeah. And well, and she'll do some resistance stuff. I have to still go buy the tennis balls. And and she suggested, you know, maybe wearing your shoes for some traction and bring a yoga mat if you have it. We'll have a few. And, you know, comfortable clothes, and we'll hopefully be outside for that. And that'll be at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, this sounds like it's in the garden. And I was originally picturing dynamic stretching. Are we bending over and weeding things? Or
Don't give our garden coordinator ideas. She might change this up on us. Yeah. But, yeah, that should be really good. And Charisse, by the way, you know, speaking of very talented folks, she also did a series for the kids, Dancing Stories. And so she's got all sorts of different skills. And in case you have any fabrics or anything of that nature, that natural fabrics, she repurposes. She's an awesome sewer. So she's got all sorts of skills. And she also has offerings, you know, at the Yellow Room too. So.
Oh, very nice. And then the last session for the day is all about mushrooms.
Yes, everybody wants to learn about mushrooms. Do you have a favorite mushroom?
Morels.
Morels.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, kind of low-hanging mushroom fruit or something like that.
Well, at 2 p.m., Art Church, who many of you all know out in the community, he's been active and very knowledgeable about all things foraging, growing, you know, everything to do with gardening. And he's been foraging mushrooms for 45 years or more. And he's going to clue us in to the safety side, because we all know mushrooms can be our friends or not appropriate for us as humans. And I believe he's going to show a little bit of a CD so we can get some good ID and some DVD stuff and presentation. But then we're going to go out into the garden and show and learn about how to inoculate to grow your own.
Oh.
So maybe you're not in a situation to forage or want to play it safe, and you want to grow your own, and he'll go through that process. So there'll be a hands-on demonstration in the garden. So this will be, you know, another unusual one. Last year we were all garden or all community rooms, but this year we're going back and forth. So
that just sounds exciting. No, some people love the chase for mushrooms. My wife and I differ on mushrooms. I love to harvest them and eat them. She's all in the harvest part, but not the eating part.
Really? Yep. Well, you got a great partner. Well, jeez, I need one of those.
More for me.
That's right. Yeah. I need somebody, because I have to admit, I don't forge myself. I don't trust my skills enough. So I look forward to other people. And he's going to work with the King Stropharia Mycelium.
Okay.
So, and I'm not sure if I pronounced that quite right either.
I guess we'll find out Saturday. So this is all Saturday, June 22nd.
Yep.
And we have one more event for June, and then we'll take a short break before we come back and talk about the rest of the summer.
Okay. And then also the event that I think you're referring to.
Blood drive.
Is the blood drive. So many of you know that many people in our community depend on blood received through the blood drive. So we'd appreciate if you'd come out on June 26th at the library, 11 to 3. We'll be doing a blood drive. They do ask if you could register in advance, but if you can't, that's okay too. Walk-ins are more than welcome. So
now, when I first saw that, I was picturing something akin to a blood bank, like the library itself might be holding on to the supplies and dispensing of, but you're probably working with a partner organization.
Yeah, Vitalant is the one that collects it and does everything with it and promotes it. And they got it down to a system. They're very efficient. You come in, you do it, you know, and the community benefits directly.
Yeah, it's really so important for our community, the blood drives and the opportunity to be able to provide those for folks in need.
Yes, it is. And they also have some promos and things of that nature. So you could go on to our website, ebonnerlibrary.org, or if you feel better giving somebody a call, feel free to give me a call. Once again, my name is Joyce Jowdy, and my number is 208 563-6930 at the library, and you can reach me at extension 1103.
Well, if you're just tuning in, this is The Morning Show on KRFY 88.5 FM, community-supported radio for North Idaho. We're talking with Joyce, as she just mentioned, about all kinds of things at the library. We're going to take a short music break and come back and look at more of the programs coming up this summer. Right now, we're going to listen to Christy McCarthy, Walking in Nature, by Christy McCarthy from her album, Acoustic Rainbow Roots. Thought it was very appropriate for the day.
Absolutely.
Well, welcome back. You're here with Phil Huff on the Tuesday Morning Show. On this Tuesday, June 11th. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm projecting into July for our upcoming events. But Joyce Jowdy from the East Bonner County Library is with us talking about all of the wonderful summer programs that are going on. We're going to pick it up from there. The Natural Connections Program, which we were just talking about, is a monthly thing. Let's pack into that. When did it start? And so how long has it been going on? And what's coming up?
August 2023 was our first one, and I'm proud to say I was worried for some months. We've kept it going every month, and we've done all sorts of different programs bringing the community together, everything from Ayurvedic medicine class to cooking and taking a bag of food home from the food bank with recipes to then cook what you learn to cook, to health programs, to drumming circles, all different modalities of learning, experiencing, giving people an opportunity to try out things, meet their neighbors, and share their own level of expertise and their own favorite things. And so we do a lineup each month and different time slots, different opportunities, and all materials are provided. It's free. It's geared towards the adult and teen audience in terms of their interest and content. And that's, you know, what we're hoping to do is once a month at least to keep it going.
Mm-hmm. And so July, we're still settling into the theme.
Yes, we are. So if we have any presenters out there who want to share their expertise, please feel free to give me a call. Or if you're a member of the listening audience who would love to learn something new and has an idea for a program, I'm always taking ideas, please feel free to give me a call, 208-263-6930. And extension 1103 at the East Bonner County Library District. And I should mention, too, because I know you have a wide listening audience, we also do programs in Clark Fork. We've only done a couple of Natural Connections there, but open to doing more. So once again, if you have any interest, and that's one of the ways we're trying to respond is what it is people are interested in. You know, this month we've got the Mushroom Talk in North Idaho. And that's partly because last year I had lots of people asking for fungi, foraging, mushrooms, all sorts of different aspects of it. So we're trying it out with Art Church on the 22nd of June.
Excellent. Well, it should be a lot of fun. And then August's Natural Connection is going to be a little different. It's this year's version of Sandemonium.
That's true. So many folks might recall a number of years ago, Sandemonium did an event at the library, and then they went to other locations. But now they're going to be back at the library. And I have to admit to you, Phil, Sandemonium's new to me. I never really participated. So this is a great opportunity for me to learn, too. And for those of you out in the community familiar with it, there will be all different. We're still working out the agenda. But it'll be a little different than these other Natural Connections because many of the events, there's games that go on. They'll just be going on all day. And we're hoping still to have a few specific presentations. And, you know, there'll be things like cosplay, anime activities. We might even have something for specific for youth. The Sandemonium's a nonprofit, I should mention, in our community. So it's kind of the event and the title of the organization co-sponsoring it are the same. They're going to be doing a display in our lobby display cases. So we'll get a lot more info as we go. But I just want to let people know because it'll be different. It'll be like almost like a festival or a conference, you might say.
I've heard it described. The organizers, when they first set it up a few years ago, I know one of them very well. And he described it as Sandpoint's version of Comic-Con. So kind of bringing together a lot of different pop culture, role-playing, cosplay, and It looked like a blast. That's not something I would normally do, but I could see, you know, a new experience.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We want to, you know, show, you know, we want to give opportunity to be inclusive for everybody, different age groups, different interest levels. And that's why, you know, people will hear sometimes natural connections and they'll think, oh, it's just nature. Well, it's, you know, all connections are natural, whether it's, you know, your connection to your favorite character in a movie that you then do, you know, want to dress up like, or whether it's, you know, digging in the dirt, or whether it's our connection, it's all kinds, most connections are natural. And so that's one of the reasons they wanted it under that banner too, was to just draw people's attention and include those folks who have those interests.
So is that also the third Saturday is in August?
It'll be August 17th.
August 17th.
And yes, okay. It's not always the third Saturday. That varies each month depending on what we have availability, et cetera. But for August, okay. We do know it's locked in for August 17th. And we might even do something also in Clark Fork. So if people are interested in that sort of activity out there, be sure to let us know.
So many things going on, and we want to give a little bit of time to what's the process, the creative process by which you come up with programs. You've recently gone on what you described as a road trip, and I'd like to hear more about that, because in our pre-conversations, I know that's given rise to your thinking about some of the future programs.
Yes. Well, there was a training opportunity, Growing Creative Aging for Idaho, that was offered. And a colleague and I had the opportunity to go. It was offered by the Idaho Commission for Libraries, the Arts Idaho Lifetime Arts, and Institute of Museum Library Services down in Boise. And of course, you know, anybody who lives in Idaho knows you can't go to Boise without taking a road trip. So we
sometimes through other states.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did. We ended up going through Oregon, as many people know. Sometimes that happens. So we stopped at a bunch of libraries along the way. And I don't know, would you like to hear about the training or some of those stops, Phil?
Both. We have enough time, I think, to squeeze each in.
So we left from here, a colleague and I, and we went down to Moscow's library as our first stop. And one of the things that they were doing that I've had requests for here, so I'm looking to your listeners to help me out with this idea, because I think it'd be really cool to start. They do a repair cafe. So where they set up all different types of opportunities to repair things, like, you know, did you ever need an appliance like your toaster fixed, or maybe you needed to mend your clothing, or you needed book mending or knife sharpening, all different topics. And they just have a day, I think it's like 4 hours, and people can bring their stuff and learn how to fix them and fix it and have people there who know how to do it. So that was one of the ones that caught my eye that I thought would be really cool. I don't know. Do you need anything repaired?
I'm always always in need of things repaired, you know, from the shoulders to cars to backpacks. That's a great thing that falls in the whole idea of recycle, repurpose, reuse, rethink how we do things.
Absolutely. And I think that's so important. You know, and so many books at the library are about how to do things and fix things, but some of us need the hands-on, you know. And so I would love to do something like that here if folks are interested, so let me know. And then I went on to the University of Idaho library, and they had an awesome studio for video and radio and sound and everything. That was awesome. And they had a lot of other neat things too. And then we went to Lewiston and Stanley and Ketchum and Haley and all sorts of places. One of the things I wanted to point out was in Ketchum, they're doing, they have the Hemingway House there.
Mm-hmm.
They own that. And they do a Hemingway lecture series.
Oh.
And Joy Harjo is going to, she's a member of the Mifsgoki Nation and a poet laureate. And she will be there on the end of July and doing a lecture talk, And I'm hopeful, fingers crossed, that we're going to be able to live stream it at the library. She's a wonderful author. And it's just those kinds of partnerships trying to build with the other libraries, because they're in a situation to have some leading authors, famous people, whatever you want to call it.
This day and age with our technology, we can share more than just ideas. We can share content. And so this kind of cross-pollination is just a wonderful thing.
Yes, it really is. I mean, we're fortunate enough here at the library. I don't know if folks know, but in our digital library, we have a program called Author Talks. And they are talks from different authors all around the nation that we normally couldn't afford to bring here. And I found out about Joy Harzo through one of our patrons who was signing up for the author talk. She did an author talk, and it was great. I listened to it, and then I, of course, found out we had lots of her books, and it was great. So I'm looking forward to us trying to stream it, because it'll be fantastic, I'm sure. So I hope people will keep an ear out for that and that we're able to do that. And they, you know, it was interesting. We had teeny tiny libraries we visited and very large ones and very, you know, that had lots of facilities, like in Ketchum. They've gone very automated, you know, in terms of check-ins. It goes through this, you know, it's tagged. It goes through a little conveyor belt and dips into bins. And they have meeting room spaces for people who are maybe working remotely, or collaboration spaces.
I was just impressed maybe 6 months ago or so, discovering our library does face recognition for checkout. Now, this isn't the biometrics that are used at the airport. They take a photo of you, and then you walk up to the checkout counter and just say, my face is my ID. And the person takes your name, looks at it, goes, yep, you're good to go. And so it's face recognition now to check out.
Yeah, there's technology everywhere with it. And that was one of the things on this trip. It was really interesting to see the different technology a lot of the places were doing. The one technology that the particular libraries we went to didn't have that we did was the VR room that we have here. Mm-hmm. Some had VR to take out, you know, for special events or things of that
virtual
nature.
Reality.
Yeah, yeah, virtual reality. Whereas here, you know, you can do flight simulation. You can fly.
Well, it's amazing. And there's everything from the teen center to, I know the outreach has a vehicle that will take books to some of the senior homes and senior apartments. So my mom takes advantage of those services and goes through a book or two a week.
Yeah. And that's one of those services that was interesting to see how other libraries handled. Some didn't have any sort of remote service for homebound folks, and others had it just in town and very, very limited. But we're really lucky here, Phil. I don't know if your listeners know, but we have a homebound program. So not even just if you're at a facility like a long-term living facility, yes, we can go there and pick out books for you and bring those to you, or other sorts of materials, but also we can go to your home. So if you're not able to physically get out, and it's not just a convenience service, it's a, you know, that you absolutely are homebound, we can come out. So please do give a call. It was interesting. The woman that went with me was the person who did volunteer services and homebound services. And that was another area we shined, is a level of our volunteer involvement here is wonderful. And it was nice to see how other people were doing that as well.
Well, I know before we go, we wanted to talk about the Growing Creative Aging for Idaho initiative.
Mm-hmm. And what that really is about is the recognition through surveys and assessments and research, something that many of us already know, is that as folks age, there can often be a tendency towards isolation and loneliness and not being able to feel as engaged. And so what this program really is about is trying to connect people again. And it's professional. What they've decided is they would do some sort of arts program. It could be music, physical arts. It could be theater, any sort of artistic item, and have somebody who's professionally in that role, you know, a professional artist and teacher, and teach it
and sequential learning. So, you know, often at the library, you'll see we have one off, you know, like this on the 22nd, we're going to be doing origami, you know, so that's a one time you go in. Whereas this is geared towards having sequential learning to build on your skills, 8 classes, and then also to build relationships while you're there. And then you end it with a celebration. So these aren't, well, I'm just an adult and I took a class. It's that you've become an artist or gained an expertise. And so it was very interesting. We got to hear some of the people who got the grant and have tried this at their library, like the Lewiston Library, McCall Library, the Boise Art Museum. And interesting enough, and I didn't know this, right down the street, we had somebody participate. Our music conservatory did Music Matters, you know, for the mature person as part of this. And I hadn't recognized that. So she was, the director was there and spoke about the experience. So it was really interesting to be able to interact with different libraries and artists, institutions and places that were focused with seniors. And we even got to learn hands-on how it goes through. So this is one of those programs that maybe we'll consider doing here if there's interest. I don't know. You know, we just went to the training and it's a nationwide thing. And right now they're focusing on the 5 Western states to bring this.
I think there'd be there would be a demand for the service, let's say. I think it would be a valuable one.
Yeah. The key to it really is, you know, regardless of our age, we're valuable to the community. We're valuable to our own lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being allowed to still shine and share that and however that be is, I think, in my opinion, super critical.
It's staying engaged. And so as we come to the close of the show pretty soon here on the topic of staying engaged, let's kind of run through just a quick recap of the offerings that can be had and, you know, how people can sign up. So we've got the start with the Let's Hike series.
All right. The Let's Hike series and the Trails and Tales, those two hiking, walking ones, please go on to our website to register for those at ebonnerlibrary.org. And they are your little hikes and for the Let's Hike, it starts June 12th to July 25th, 9 to 10:30 at a variety of locations for ages 6 and up. And for that one, just friendly reminder, you will need to fill out a waiver and register ahead. The other programs that we talked about, like What's All the Buzz About this Saturday at 1 p.m. at the library, you don't need to register.
Just show up.
You can just show up. And that one is suitable for all ages. Learn about beekeeping. And then sewing at the library on the Monday the 17th, 2 to 4. Once again, show up. And Yoga with Drew will be this Saturday as well as next Monday. And I'm sorry, not this Saturday. This is the one exception. I apologize for that. And then we'll be doing that through July as well. And that's for any level. So he also adjusts things.
Saturdays and Mondays, except for the 15th.
Thank you for clarifying. Yeah. I appreciate that. And then the main one that I wanted to make sure people are aware of is our Natural Connections. June 22nd, 10 to 4. And it'll start at 10 a.m. where we'll learn how to fabric wrap in the Japanese tradition. And do origami and do hands-on with that. And then we'll go out to the garden at noon for dynamic stretching, wear your comfortable clothes and figure on having some strengthening exercises, stretching, all levels. And then at 2 p.m., we'll learn about mushrooms in North Idaho.
All right.
So, and that also will involve some hands-on experience of demonstration with Art Church. So I hope you all can come out.
Lots of stuff coming up. If you tuned in partway and you missed some of the details for these programs, you can always go to our podcast. It should be posted in the next day or so at krfy.org. It's been a wonderful morning sharing with Joyce Jowdy, the outreach coordinator for the East Bonner County Library. Thank you for coming on the show, Joyce.
Thank you, Phil. Thanks, KRFY. We really appreciate you and our community. You help us get the word out about all sorts of things, and we really appreciate this opportunity. Have a great day.
Thank you. We're going to take it out with a little bit of Jack Gladstone. I'll be back with some upcoming events, so stay tuned.